I want to get to some NHL stuff, but we're just talking before the hour. Three new ECHL teams, if it hasn't already been announced since we've been on the air, will be announced. We expect as early today, Cincinnati, Idaho, and Kalamazoo announcing that they won't play this season. Some ECHL teams are playing and will play. Toledo is still undecided, I'm told, and so is Fort Wayne. And I'd like to start, and this goes into your past as a player, as a coach, and into your family as well with your son, Gabby. What does Fort Wayne mean to you as a hockey person?
Oh, wow. I mean, so much. I mean, first of all, my son's coaching there. It's one thing. But, I mean, that's where I basically started my coaching career, was in Fort Wayne. It's where I met my wife. It's where I finished my playing time. And it was just, it's just great memories all along. And, I mean, it's a storied franchise that's been around. I think it's the second longest other than Hershey. In the American League, as far as continual playing franchises. So it's it means a lot, and I'm on the phone every day with my son to find out if they're going to play, if they're not going to play, all of these things. It's pretty crazy time.
You know, as a really successful minor league coach and NHL coach, Bruce, what would you share with Ben? Like, what type of advice would you give him?
Well, it's tough. I mean, he's in the boat. Like, I mean, you know, with the minor league teams, he's done all the recruiting all summer. It's and they work so much harder than, say, like an NHL coach doesn't have to recruit in the summer. I mean, we have to be there and do work. But, I mean, they do all the recruiting as well. So, I mean, and they've got players phoning him every day. What's going on? What's this? What's happening? Because, I mean, it's their livelihood. I mean, they might be making $600-$700 a week, but they need that money. And so they want to know what's going on. So when you hear about these three teams that are going dark for the year, and then there's Toledo and Fort Wayne are probably the only two that haven't made up their mind. I don't know the date where they've decided to do that too, but I know my son's antsy. He doesn't know. Where do I go from here? It's the last year of my deal. You know, I mean, all of these things that go on, the stresses and the worries of a normal just person looking for work that's going on through this pandemic. But I certainly hope Fort Wayne is one of the teams that decides to play. I mean, there's other teams in the East Coast League that are actually having training camp at this moment and are going to play. And I hope Fort Wayne soon becomes one of those teams.
I don't think the casual fan really understands the actual grind of the East Coast Hockey League. Would you be able to explain to them just sort of the uncertainty of each player faces? A lot of those contracts are not necessarily month to month, but even week to week.
Well, they're actually day to day. They can cut you at any time. Yeah. It's like football players. So, I mean, these players, I mean, when they sign, they're looking for a place to play from October till hopefully June. And that's, you know, I mean, they can make upwards the good ones on an East Coast League deal, maybe 30,000, 35,000, but most of them are in the 20,000 range. So they're sitting at home and they, you know, they're not good enough or well known enough to play in Division I a lot of time in Europe. So they're sitting at home in their off-season jobs, because they all have to work, are looking, okay, are you here for another week? Are you quitting? What's going on? And so their families as well. I mean, they try to get mostly single guys and younger players, but, I mean, some of them have families, and they don't know whether they're moving if they're Canadian. I mean, they're pretty well all shut down unless they're living in the States at this time. So it's a lot of stress on their life, and and it's difficult because it's also, you know, the American League team needs the East Coast League to survive, as does the NHL need the American League to survive. So it's a tough time for hockey people right now.
Bruce, I wanted to take advantage of having you on today to ask you a sort of a general coaching question. You seem like someone who's very in touch with people and personalities, and you've been in and around hockey rinks your entire life as a coach and player. I wanted to get a feeling from you for how different one locker room can be from another in terms of the personalities, the behaviors, and sort of how that plays out on the ice. I ask because here in Toronto, they've often made some, or they're making some noise about adding certain personalities in hopes of changing the culture of a room. You've seen so many different rooms. How different is one culture from the next, and how does that play out on the ice?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest difference when you think about it is teams that have been there or been to the finals, and their goals become a little bit different than younger players, that the world is in front of them and they think it's going to happen and everything's gone rosy, but they haven't. I mean, that's the biggest difference. I mean, I liken the Leafs a lot to like my early teams in Washington when we had tremendous hockey players, but they just, you know, I mean, the Stanley Cup wasn't the most important thing. I remember, and I love Alex, but I mean, for the first 6 or 7 years of his career, the day we finished in the playoffs, the next day he was off to the World Championships. And I just think as time went on, it became apparent that how much the Stanley Cup was important to him. And you could see it on his face when they finally won it a couple of years ago. And I think the Leaf guys are getting there. I think with the veterans that they've added and the leadership they've added on the team, like if you're looking at Joe Thornton's done everything but win the Stanley Cup. Nothing would mean more to him than winning the Stanley Cup, and he's going to bring great leadership to the dressing room. And I'm sure if he sees something that he doesn't like, he's gonna step up and say it. And sometimes players need a big brother that they all respect, and I think that's what's going to happen in Toronto this year.
No, that's such a great point, Bruce. I was having a conversation with actually someone involved in baseball at the MLB level, and I said, who's the one player, you know, of all the free agents that are out there that the Blue Jays, in your estimation, should go after the most aggressively? Mm-hmm. And he said, JT Realmuto, the catcher from the Phillies. And I said, why? And he said, he's going to walk into that room and he's going to show the guys, the younger players, that A, they're not good enough, and B, they don't know how to be professionals. Was that, do you think, the lesson? You mentioned that Washington Capitals team. Were there guys that you said, you know what, we need these types of players around, like a young Ovechkin, a young Mike Green, a young Nick Backstrom, to show them that A, they're not good enough, and B, they don't know how to be pros yet?
Yeah, and you know what, we went in the end, we had Mike Knubel, who would try to be that leader there. But, I mean, I think we needed a couple more. And and that's what Toronto has gone for, is that leadership. And you need those guys. And I'll tell you a quick story. When I played, and I got called up all the time, and I'd play, and I'd start to think I was doing good. And I remember one day specifically, you talk about leadership, is we had a practice. And we practiced hard, and once practice was over, I went off the ice, and it was at the Gardens. And 5 seconds later, I have Daryl coming in after me and grabbing me by the scruff of the neck and saying, listen, just because things are going good right now, he says, I'm the best player in this team, and I'm the first guy on, and the fat last guy off. You get your butt back out there and start working on things that you need. And that, to me, that has resonated with me for like what 40 years now, and that to me was what the meaning of leadership was. And thinking of he's not just thinking of me, but how was he going to make the team better by making me better? And I think I have no idea, but I'm just guessing. Joe Thornton is like that. I mean, Ryan Getzlaff was like that. Corey Perry was like that. When I was in Anaheim, you have the Ryan Suters were like that. And that's what you need to be successful, I believe.
The UFA market's awfully quiet right now, and there's some big names still available. Going back to years past, if there was a player that was available, would you really make a push to the GM saying, hey, we need to get this guy. We need to sign a Hoffman or a Sammy Vatanen to make this club better?
If I knew him and I really believed that he would help our team, I would definitely, say something. I mean, there's some GMs that would listen to you, and there's some GMs that wouldn't. I'd always ask Chuck Fletcher, hey, Chuck, can we come in and talk? Can you come in my office and talk hockey for a minute? And he'd come in and he'd listen. Now, whether we got the guy, I don't know. But I mean, it was the same thing with George McPhee. I remember the day, and I said, George, we need a second line center really bad. If we can get a second line center, I don't know who's out there, who's talking to you, but I think we could be just put us right over the top. And he came back an hour later and he said, I just got Fedorov. Is that okay for you? And
that's wild.
So I said, yeah. I said, and Feds for 2 years was incredible for our team.
You know, I think that if I can, sorry, Brent, I just want to jump in really quick on one thing that Bruce is saying there. I think that, correct me if I'm wrong here, didn't you do that with McPhee in Washington over Matt Hendricks? I know you're always a big Matt Hendricks guy, and weren't you one of the main reasons why Washington went and got him from Colorado?
Yeah, and I think I was. And Colorado, there was some contract thing. And so I phoned Matt, and I said, Matt, listen, come to our camp on a tryout right now. And I guarantee if you come to our camp, I will not let you go. You will be signed and you'll be with us. And I go, that was the first time I did that. And I was putting my foot in my mouth pretty good. But I remember the first preseason game I played him. It was in Columbus. He scored 3 goals. I was in George's office at 9 o'clock the next morning telling him all about it. But the icing on the cake with Matt was Coley Campbell's son. What was his name?
Gregory.
Jumped OV in a preseason game, and nothing really happened out of it. But we played Boston again the next night, and Matt was in the lineup. And I remember opening faceoff, Campbell was there, and all I see is Matt nudging our centerman and to move to left wing, and he took the faceoff, and they fought right off the bat. And right after the game, I said, George, we have to have him. The players love him. This is why we need him. And, you know, we signed him within the next couple of days. But, I mean, those were the kind of guys. I would only do it if I really believed in the guy. I didn't want to do it if there was, I had him. He's a good guy. But if I really believed he was going to make an impact on our team, I would definitely tell the GM that I think we should get him.
Bruce, what are your thoughts on where the NHL is at right now with the players and the owners and the sort of battles we're hearing over money? Where are you at with all that? And just because I may not get a chance to ask you another question, is there any chance we get to see you back in the NHL this season?
Well, to answer the second question, I hope so. I mean, I want to be back. I miss it so much as it is, like everybody that loves hockey. But I miss the being in the battle. I miss being in the trenches with the guys, and unfortunately, if it's going to happen, then it's going to be at the demise of somebody. And I hate anybody losing their job, but I want to get back in the NHL. That's the way life is. As far as the first part, I have no idea what they're talking about. I just, like you guys, I'm reading everything I can read and trying to find out every day when they're going to come back, when training camp's going to start, how I would do it if it starts on the 15th, which seems much more reasonable than starting on the 1st at this time. Whatever it is, I mean, hockey's got to be and I know it's not, it's a business, but I mean, it should be the most paramount thing, is we've done such a great job in North America and the world of building up hockey into a major, major sport the last 20 years. I'd hate for it not to play and then take a back step to the other sports and have to build back up again.